Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Mishlei Perek Chof Dala, the 24th chapter in the book of Mishlei. This Perek is 34 psukim long, and it has a number of different ideas which are grouped into groups of two or three psukim altogether. Let's take a quick look at the overview again. This is less of a narrative of a Perek, so we have less of a one central idea governing the entire Perek. It's more of lots of different ideas. So just to move through those very, very briefly, Psukim Aleph to Beis are about not being jealous of evildoers. We've seen this theme in previous Prakim. Psukim Gimel to Dalad, 3 to 4, are that only with wisdom will a house be built. Bechachma yibone bayis, usuvona uvisuvuna yizkonan. You'll only be able to establish a house with knowledge. Psukim Hei to Vav are about Chachma is better than strength. Talking about Gever Chacham Bo'oiz. Psukim Zayin to Tes, 7 to 9, are descriptions of the Evil, the Leitz, and the Baal Mezimois. These are different types of people of differing levels of ignorance and perhaps negative thoughts. Psukim Yud to Yud Beis talk about the idea of not standing idly by over the blood of one's friends. Don't say to oneself, you know what, I didn't notice, I wasn't aware, I wasn't able to, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Haloit toichein libois hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yavin v'netzer nafshecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what goes through your mind, he knows what you're able to or not able to, and he's going to bring an accounting to you for the actions, for the bystander actions that you left out in life. So can you gimel to your dalad? Well, the best thing for a person is to acquire wisdom. That's the greatest asset a person can ever get because it can never be taken away. Psukim Tezvov Tezayin, 15 to 16, are a begging not to hurt the righteous. Psukim Yud Zayin to Yud Ches are don't rejoice over the downfall of one's enemies. Yud Tes to Chof, don't be jealous of the success of evildoers. Psukim Chof Aleph to Chof Dabez, fear of Hashem and fear of the king are talked about. Chav Gimel to Chav Vav, not showing favor, don't be giving extra bias to certain people. Pasuk Chav Zayin stands alone about building your house with wisdom, reflecting a pasuk earlier in the Perek. Psukim Chav Ches to Chav Tes, don't be a false witness. And finally, the last little section, Chav Lamed to Lamed Dalad, are a warning against laziness, which seems to be a very common theme. We're going to pick three psukim to focus on today, and of course the rest are open to taking much more time to study and appreciate. We're going to look at Pasuk Vav first. Very beautiful Pasuk. Ki v'sach bulois ta'ase l'cha milchama. With planning, with all these kinds of strategies, you'll make war. U'teshua b'rov yo'etz. And wisdom or salvation will come through a lot of counsel. The general idea seems to be is that the way to win wars is with a lot of counsel, with a lot of planning. It doesn't just happen. You know, on a military level, one thinks about this when one thinks back to in the early 1980s when Menachem Begin ordered the destruction of the Osirik reactor in Iraq. And, you know, just to understand at the time, when the amount of planning that went into it, there was the amount of miracles and planning on both sides. On the miracle side, the fact that Israel was able to buy F-16 rockets from the United States, who had already sold those to Iran, but then there was a revolution in 1979, and that Israel was able to buy them knowing that their phantoms had no way to make the range to Iraq. But even the F-16s weren't able to make it to Iraq, because for the simple reason is that the round trip was over 2,000 miles. The F-16s could not make it. Still to this day, Israel's not fully revealed how they managed to do that. It was so critical that, in fact, they refueled the planes even after they taxied them to position on the runway because of the amount of extra fuel that was needed. I mean, just to think about that, or from a military perspective, that's just one of many, many different stories that occurs in the history of Israel. However, there's another interpretation of this pasuk. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach on Membeis on Aleph tells us the following. What's it referring to? Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina says in the name of Ra'asi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. B'miya tomotze milchamtoi shel Torah. In where do you find the war of Torah? B'mi sheyesh b'yodo tachbulai shel Mishnah. They're a person who has already the arsenal of Mishnah. And the way this is understood, as Rashi explains in the Gemara, is if you want to engage in the Milchamta Shel Torah, which is what this Pasuk is talking about, not necessarily military war, you want to engage in war of Torah, in the conversation, in the dialogue of Torah, it's not enough just to pontificate and be mefalpel, which means to, you know, think deeply about ideas. You need to actually have basic information to be able to talk about it. If you don't have that basic information, you simply aren't at the table to be talking about it. It's a waste of your time. There's a joke about a particular yeshiva system which is very slow at their learning, and they start learning the first mission in Baba Kama, and they read the first few words, and it says Arba Avos. There are four fathers. And they look at the mission, they say, you know, it's so funny. I thought there were three fathers. There are three patriarchs, not four. So the person who's learning with him says, no, the next word is Arba Avos Nezikin. There are four categories of Nezikin. He says, no, don't flash your bikios. We're focusing on these words. If you don't know enough, you can't have a conversation. That's what's being discussed in this pasuk. Let's move forward to pasuk Tes Zion, the 16th pasuk. Ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kom, for seven times will a righteous one fall. Ureshoim yikoshlu v'ra'ah, but the evildoers will trip up. They will collapse in their evil. What is this referring to? So there's two different interpretations that we're going to consider today. The one is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says and talks about a person who's walking, v'azil shav biri l'shalmana, that there's a person who walks along and falls into seven pits and still comes out in peace, whereas there's another person who falls into one pit and dies. And that refers to our pasuk, because a tzaddik will fall seven times into seven pits and still get up, whereas a rasha will fall into one and die. What does this really mean? I mean, what's the imagery over here? So the Chidush HaGadol of the Maharsha explains that the idea of seven is to represent the Shivra Koich Ve'Leches, seven star signs or constellations, that a tzaddik, even though they may be under the natural guidings of nature, they will always manage to break through their natural predestined fate. That a person who is a tzaddik, a person who's willing to work on themselves, will not allow their fate to be sealed. They will choose a destiny for themselves, whereas a rasha will find one fate and ultimately succumb to that and allow that prescribed destiny, that Macbeth dream, to capture them in the end. That's what's being understood over here, is how many things, how many levels of prediction can you break through? And a tzaddik will break through all seven of the Shiva Koich Veleches, the regular star signs of our existence. However, there's a different way of reading this, and this is a very famous that Rav Huttner, Rav Yitzhak Huttner, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Mesifta Chaim Berlin, has wrote a letter to a student, and it was a very, very beautiful letter. It's found in his Igros Ukasovim, of the Pachad Yitzhak, the letters and the writings of Rav Huttner. It is Kuf Chof Chefs, number 128, in which he talks to a student who's becoming a little despondent about achieving greatness. And he says a very fascinating thing. He quotes this pasuk in Mishle, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kom, and he says the following, this is the translation to English. The unlearned think that this means that even though a tzaddik falls seven times, he will rise. The wise know well that the meaning is, because a tzaddik falls seven times, he will rise. Meaning, what this pasuk is not describing is a bidyeved, despite the fact that they fell, they get up again. It's describing the lechatchila, it's describing the only way, the only crucible to growth is if a person is going to fall. If you don't fall in life, you will never get up and become that tzaddik. The only way to become that tzaddik is through the falling and getting up again. Therefore, that's a description of how one becomes who one should become through the many, many fallings. And finally, we're going to look at the Psukim Yud Zayin to Yud Ches. It's very beautiful wording. Bin fol oivecha or yivcha al tismach. When your enemies fall, do not rejoice over kishloi uvich shaloi. And when they fall down, al yogel libecha, don't let your heart rejoice. Pen yireh Hashem v'rabe enav, lest Hashem see and will be bad in his eyes. Ve'shiv me'olav apoy, and he will return his anger. He'll bring his anger from them. So what is this referring to? What is going on in this particular pasuk over here? What's being described? It is interesting that this is a pasuk quoted in the Mishnah in Avos Perek Dalad. The Mishnah reads as follows, and listen very carefully. Shmuel HaKotan Amer. Shmuel, the small one, we used to say. His name was Shmuel HaKotan. Bin polo vecho al tismach, uvikishlo al yagel ibecho, pen yireh Hashem, v'ra lebeinecho ve'shiv me'elo v'apoy. Do you hear what he quoted? What did Shmuel HaKotan say? he said exactly the same thing as Shlomo HaMelech. He quoted word for word, letter for letter, our pasuk. He doesn't add anything on. And as Rabbeinu Yonah explains at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, that these sages who are recorded in Pirkei Avos had many things to say in their life, but the thing that was captured in the Mishnah was the thing which became the hallmark. This was their saying. This was something which they invented, they represented. But Shmuel HaKatan quotes a pasuk. He doesn't add anything of himself. What happened to his own ingenuity and creativity? Why is he quoting Shlomo HaMelech's Mishle, our pasuk from Perek Chav Dalet in Mishle, without any additions? So you see something fascinating. And that is that a lot of times the reason why we get so upset or insulted by other people, and the reason why we rejoice when they fall and they get insulted, is because we take things too personally. We think, ich bin ein Mensch, I'm so important, and therefore they stepped on, they trodden on my pride. And when therefore when they fall, I'm going to rejoice. Shmuel HaKatan didn't have any sense of self. There was no sense of I. There was no overextended, expanded self that felt that it would be trodden on. And therefore, even his Mishnah isn't anything more than the quotation of what he lived by, but not his own idea. Which is why the Gemara in Brachas tells us that Shmuel HaKatan composed something very, very important. He was the composer of the extra bracha on the Shmoneh Esrei, Ve'la Mal Shinim. It was a bracha which, according to this version, is actually was invented later. It was used to be Shmoneh Esrei, it used to be the 18 brachas. The 19th one was added about the heretics, about the evildoers who were undermining Israel itself at the times of the Gemara. Why was it Shmuel HaKatan could do that? The answer is because only a person of such great humility, a person who won't even insert himself into the Mishnah, a person who says that he's not going to rejoice over his enemies falling, it all comes from stems from the same idea, which is the deepest sense of humility. And you know what? When you want to compose a bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei about evil people, you have a real problem. Because you know what everybody's going to do? Deep down in their subconscious, you know what they're thinking when they're writing that bracha and they're composing it? They're thinking about those loud neighbors upstairs. They're thinking about the mailman who's always late. They're thinking about that negative manager at work. And they can't extract themselves from the bracha they're creating. There was only one person who was able to do that, and that was Shmuel HaKatan, who had no sense of I in the picture whatsoever, even when he quoted in the Mishnah, and his whole essence was Bin Polo Vecho Al Tismach. Don't, when your enemies fall, don't rejoice. It wasn't about him. That's why he could contribute to the Shmoneh Esrei, to the Amidah, the 19th bracha, which is about the enemies, and not think about it personally, to think about it completely, altruistically, for the sake of Israel and the greater collective. With these three psukim, we close, and of course, there's an invitation to look at and spend more time learning more. This closes actually the second book of Mishle. We now move to the third and last book, which runs from Perek Chof Hei to Lamed Aleph as we finish the book of Mishle. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.